Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. Well, it is now or never, and it's time to actually start seeing some movement. It's time to actually start seeing, you know, some rounds in the air, some things flying, you know, crap flying, so forth. Anyway, as you know, the show is also sponsored by republicreview.org, and this is the only show that gives you the academic evidence and academic evidence-based solutions. We're going through what we call, and what I've dubbed currently as the title, Comprehensive Constitutional Positions to Campaign on for County, State, and Federal Elections. In other words, we need to start taking a stand on the Constitution, and we need to be very clear. We need to send a very clear message that it's all about all of our liberties. You know, these people over here that want to run and campaign on your gun rights, they're limiting your rights to only being able to die for your gun. We believe you have a right to die for all of your liberties, and that we need to protect every single, we need to restore every liberty that has been stolen from you. So you can continue to support the conservative that only cares about your gun or only cares about this or that, or you can start looking at things under a constitutional perspective and actually, you know, deal with politicians or people that are going to be champions for every single one of your inalienable rights. See, that's the whole point of my advisement to Idaho. You can continue going down the path of just electing conservatives, and these guys, they're nice guys. They're nice people. They're not trying to harm you, but they don't care about restoring all of your liberties, all of your rights. They're just there for a job so that they can get their next ticket punched at the next level. Anyway, as you also know, we have some sponsorships that we like to promote. And so what we want to do is just remind you that if you're looking for constitutional education, try to make a constitutional snidbit of education a part of everything you do, whether that be your constitutional county or your unorganized militia meetings for your constitutional county. Whatever it is you do, try to have something that you can offer as a little, here's something that you may not know about the Constitution, and boom. And a good place to do that would be go to Keith Broder's constitutioneducation.us. He might have videos, he might have little questions, he might have little tests or what have you. Go crazy, because bottom line, what you're doing every time you're throwing a piece of information out there, you're teaching people, you're educating them, and all of a sudden the Constitution is not this foreign thing that gives you the right to freedom of expression and protesting. Things that you actually don't have rights to do. Anyway, in addition, we also want to make sure that you understand Ad Local. And as a matter of fact, I didn't get a chance to say this yesterday, but Ad Local is creating a turnkey package for those of you who want to run for office. This is how much it will cost to actually get everything you need done. Because bottom line, you can wait 2-3 weeks in a campaign and lose opportunities of getting people on board during that whole time. Because bottom line, your funding that you're receiving for your campaign will come through this. And so, because, right, this is your mechanism for people to actually directly contribute to your campaign. And so there's certain pieces of information that you need to know and so forth, but they will help you and get it all done. This way, it just becomes a seamless thing, and you don't need to, you know, worry about somebody else doing this. And as a matter of fact, if this is a 3-month thing, because you're just waiting to get to the primary, and then you extend it afterwards to the general if you win the primary, because you're going to want to do that anyway, right? If you win, folks, do this. This is not that hard to do. You have every opportunity to be able to go and, you know, get these. Get your website, get your presence. But let me even emphasize one more thing, because I'm hoping by the end of this week that AdLocal can tell me what it costs to do from this month to this month, or a monthly campaign. You know, what is the cost on a monthly basis for a campaign website? because you don't want to have to reinvent the wheel. And there's nothing wrong with having everything. As a matter of fact, I get people all the time that complain because my site's not like anybody else's site. Well, I like that. And sometimes being different is good. My site menu's on the right side. You know, people go, oh, you don't even have a menu. Yeah, it's right there on the right. You know, most people look to the left or they look at the top or whatever. So it's okay to have things different. But when we actually have all of our campaign pages, you know, when somebody's running for office, if they're laid out the same way, then it makes it really easy to start doing a comparing and contrasting between candidates and so forth, right? More importantly, AdLocal is a conservative company that will not deplatform you. They protect your rights and they protect the Constitution. This is the company that helped me with my videos that are out there. If you look at those little 5-minute videos that you can use for educational purposes as well. Well, shoot, folks, they've helped me, and they've helped me at, you know, to a point where I'm not necessarily worthy of all this help and support. And I just I'm saying that humbly as your servant. I don't think that, you know, none of us are worthy of these divine blessings that we get, but we have to accept and acknowledge them and use them right, so that we can bless others. And in so doing, it's kind of like the story of the talents, right? Somebody that, you know, actually received these talents and then actually magnified them and was able to manifest the blessings that they are. They were able to actually bless others and do more with those things. And that's the same thing. You know, when you're given something, use it. Don't just bury it because you're ashamed because maybe you don't deserve it. Quit being such a hard critic of yourself. Some of us have to even forgive ourselves for our indiscretions and our problems and our past. We're not perfect. That's why Christ died for us. I hate getting into theology. You go to church to learn this type of stuff. But I do know that this is the language, and these are fundamental principles that we don't necessarily talk enough about. So I don't try to ignore these things, but I do want to focus on what you need to know. And what you need to know is what it takes to actually run an effective campaign. And my advice to you as well, if you do not have your own name, if you do not have your own domain name for yourself, why not? And as a matter of fact, as a patriot, you may want to be able to do this, because if you use Gmail, if you use Yahoo, if you use any of the big tech companies, mail service, Apple, I don't care, even Reagan.com, I don't trust. My point is that if you do it yourself, if you create your own domain, you can have your own email space. And if you do this with AdLocal, they're not going to mine your data. They respect your rights. They respect the constitutional boundaries and so forth. They're not going to allow anybody to mine your data. I can't say that about Google. If you got a Google account, if you have all this stuff in Google, there's no doubt in my mind they've already harvested everything they've wanted, and they've created links, and they've let everybody know that you don't want to know, and you'll never know that the government or whoever knows these things. It's just a matter of a resource that all of a sudden when they need to connect, how do they learn all of this stuff so quickly about somebody? If you've got a good digital footprint, it's really easy, and the companies are out there. The companies have become the lapdogs. They become the portal for government to spy on you without government having to get a court order. Do you realize this insidious relationship that's been created? Folks, we're in trouble. You need to start waking up. It's time to start smelling the roses. And oh, by the way, yeah, we're getting feedback, and I love the idea that, you know, or I don't love the idea, but I love the feedback regarding what happened in Temecula. You need to revisit Friday's show if you missed it. We reported to you that Temecula has injected a public monitoring system that is capable of becoming Big Brother. The company that did it is a Chinese company. Folks, I'm just here to tell you, we have to realize what has been happening, and the fact that the Real ID Act and all of these things, they're connecting the dots. They are ensnaring you. The net is being woven right around you, and while you're acting and seeing these things, you're not looking at the macro picture to see this is a net I'm being trapped in. Folks, Come on, let's get going. It's now or never, right? Our comment line, 425-270-5416. And I want to get right back really quick back into where we were. So what we want to do is we want to actually have all of these things enumerated, right? And we talked about the importance of enumerating or delineating exactly what the federal government has jurisdiction over. This is important because this becomes your stage, your soapbox to start standing up in front of people and saying, did you know they don't have the authority to, you know, create these Indian territories, that they've been doing this and they've asserted their authority and they've either coerced or forced us or what have you. And after a while, we've just accepted it because that's what they do. And, oh, they've been doing good for us. No, they haven't been doing good by the Native Americans, Indians, whatever you want to call them. Come on, they haven't been done right. When Andrew Jackson violated the Constitution, these people were U.S. citizens. The Cherokees that were living and thriving in the South, they were U.S. citizens. And he actually violated their rights and put them on a trail of tears and killed over 10,000 folks. You understand when federal government uses things to and actually violates the Constitution, whether it may not be for your class, your group, or what have you, it is still going to kill people. And if it may not be you now, it will be you later, maybe generations later. But they will do, they're an equal killing machine. We have to keep them within the boundaries. So we're going to be right back after these two promos, and I'm going to kind of help you understand how this is a huge blessing of what you can do in building your constitutional counties. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL. Or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416.
Okay, so let's kind of lay this out. Now, we've kind of only covered the definitizing and establishing what is constitutional. So what I just went through and how they have to enumerate all of these things, enumerate everything so that we understand if it came from the court and it's a law, even if it's in jurisdiction, even if it's underneath an enumerated power, we cannot have a law exist that was created by the court. The court has no law-writing authority. It has to be done by Congress. It has to be done in a Republican form of government by our representatives. And so not by an oligarchy of government, including the executive, the legislative. I mean, they don't have an all-encompassing and an all-shared power. There are separations of powers here in America. In our constitutional republic, it's clearly delineated. So
That's why we go through all of these things to create this foundation of what that, where that foundation is and what is that framework and what's within that. If it's outside of that framework and off that foundation, it's not attached within those enumerated powers, then boom, it's unconstitutional. By doing this, it makes it very simple to go through the piles and piles of crap, because you can literally take a whole pile and say, because it just came from this organization, which is unconstitutional, all of this is unconstitutional. Boom. That simple, folks. Every single little sub-element, every single sub-office, bureaucracy, things that were created under the Department of Energy, it is all unconstitutional. Gone. Just like that. Because we have an enumerated constitution, and because we've only delegated very specific powers, that is how simple it is. Now, I want to give you some context. We want to connect some dots real quick, and why what we're giving you is the foundation that you can create your constitutional county on. Now, and forgive me for using a personal example, but I'm not going to mention names, wares, or anything. But we've kind of already talked about this concept of chicken coops and being able to have, because we had to, this happened in our, actually it happened in our HOA where I live. They said, hey, these people have chickens and that's against our HOA and we can't let that happen. And I'm going, you know, we don't have, the Constitution does not grant us the right to be able to take away the rights of others to be able to self-sustain. Now, it's one thing they do, we do have the right for health purposes to create health standards. Like, you know, you can't let the chicken dung pile up and dry up to become dust that gets into the air that we breathe. And, you know, we can create those kinds of standards, at least at the local level. The federal government has to have that power enumerated. And even at the local level, they have to have that power enumerated. And if we enumerate that within your HOA type of thing for health purposes, but you can't create a power that denies a U.S. citizen privileges and immunities guaranteed by the U.S. Constitution. Not in America. If you want to sell or you want to buy bacon in your housing area, and it allows you to sell or buy, let's say you want to have a store in this particular town and you want to sell bacon, you can't be shut down because you're selling bacon. Now, Mohammedans will try to go out there and try to, you know, force the issue to shut you down, but they would be, and they're trying and are violating your constitutional right. As long as it is legitimate and not of public problem. In other words, it's not obscene. It's not, you know, a nuisance, like, you know, making a bunch of noise in the middle of the night. So to be clear, when you have towns, when you have HOAs, when you have these unity organizations and communities that have tried to create laws, that though they may be nice or noble, and I'm just going to use the chicken coop because, folks, you have a right to be able to become self-sufficient. And as long as you are, you know, you keep up on whatever the maintenance is, and it has to be reasonable. I mean, there has to be a reasonable justification why they would create this maintenance or this standard so that, you know, it, you don't become an eyesore, so it doesn't become, you know, this smelly, you know, pigsty. Because, you know, if you've ever been to close to a meat rendering plant like they have in Omaha, I mean, that stench, you know, flies, you know, miles. I believe that anybody that builds a house close to that meat rendering plant will, you know, regret the fact that they live there for probably 6 months out of the year. Now, in the wintertime, when it gets really cold, maybe those smells aren't so bad. But you can't live in the wintertime all year round. And the fact is, and that's, you know, sometimes that's how certain properties sell. They can sell during the off season when you don't see the flooding problem, when you don't see all these other things. And so all of a sudden you go, wow, every year we get flooded. Every year we have the, it, well, that's why you bought the property during that time of year. They probably didn't even list it until that time of year. You see my point? My point is that we have this desire as a society, as people, to try to do things that mean good. But when it comes down to providing for your family and providing for yourself, if you are a property owner, it's one thing if that's your property and you're renting and you're letting somebody live there. And that person, you know, they need to get the property owner's permission to be able to have a chicken coop. But if you're the property owner and you can have, and or the property owner allows you to have a chicken coop, the city cannot deny you of that. They can't just say, oh, because there's a possibility that you may not tend to them or that you're going to do this commercially or what have you. Bottom line is you have a right to actually have that. And they may have a law that says if you do it for commercial endeavors, we'll shut you down. We'll come after you for tax evasion. Because bottom line, why would you, some people do this. They actually get chickens and they sell the eggs for making money. You know, they may not make a lot of money, but it's a way to skirt. That's money that's not taxed. That's money that's not through their process of being able, because that's how government operates. They have to have some types of taxes, and when people are skirting taxes, so I get those types of things. But to tell you, you can't have a chicken coop, folks, it's time to rally the wagons. It's time to get the pens and papers out and start creating petitions. And so with this one concept, you can now put, not only petition your city, but you can now petition your county and demand that they, you know, make it so that in the county, nobody can be denied. And as a matter of fact, you then petition the county to take this to the state level to say everybody has an inalienable right to be able to provide for themselves. If they're the property owners, they should not be stopped in being able to do whatever they possibly can. I understand that some people don't like their houses painted pink. I understand that some people don't want to have their property values affected because, you know, somebody lives in squalor. I understand those types of things. Those are the risks we take in life, right? And so get yourself property insurance to protect yourself if all of a sudden you lose property value because, you know, you have a bad neighbor or because a turn of events or whatever. That's what property insurance can be for. If you want to hedge your bets, then you don't have to, you can sleep, you know, sleep the sleep of the just without having to worry over, you know, and staying up all night. Oh, what's happening with our property value? Who cares? When it comes down to a person having the right to be able to take care of themselves and their family, it is repugnant. It is just absolutely unconscionable that we try to inflict upon them standards that, oh, you can't live this way. Are you kidding me? It's almost like telling people that your great-grandparents abused, you know, your great-great-grandparents abused your great-grandparents because they only had one room and everybody slept in one room. And that's abusive because everybody deserves to have the... No, we don't have the right to tell people what they can do and how they have to, because it creates conditions that people can't meet. Folks, we have to start understanding that we have to restore the faith, accountability, the responsibility, and let people make the decisions that they can possibly live within. We can't make life, you know, the set standard that everybody's, you know, everybody deserves to live, to live in a home where they have a room for every person that lives there. How do you think illegals, or how do you think people that came to America, you know, whether that be, you know, what is it, Southeast Asia, like Vietnam and those folks that came here under this unconstitutional refugee program, when they came here, they had many people living in one home, and they all worked and worked and worked, and whoever owned that home, the grandparents or whoever the parents were, you know, because it was all their family, they basically were supporting and helping everybody get their feet, their footing. And that's why you'll notice that in Southern California, some of the most patriotic people are some of these Southeastern, or I should say these people from Vietnam and Laos and Cambodia and those places as refugees. They understood and they were so, and they're happy that they had the opportunity and privilege to be able to do that. We're creating conditions today that, you know, the government will put you up. They're going to take full control. Are you kidding? I'm going down this rat hole and I'm catching myself, so let me pull myself back out. So now you have one or two issues to actually start taking petitions and getting many people on board. I'm confident that if you actually went around and said, hey, I don't like, any health hazards and I don't like any problems, but I don't like the fact that government is going to tell somebody like this person over here, if they lost their job, how are they supposed to survive? If they're willing to take and get chickens and plant their own food and do some of the own work for themselves to help offset their cost to survive and have a better life, who are we to tell them they can't do that with their own property? It's one thing to set standards. It's one thing to say they can't affect the health of others. They can't have, you know, the stench, you know, or noise all year. I remember this one story of a person that actually set up a mining effort. And this was talking, we're talking about a California housing development, but they had mineral rights. And so they were actually drilling in their backyard, and they were doing that 24/7 until they came in. It only went for a couple of days. They shut him down and said, "Hey, you can't do this." And he goes, "Yeah, I have a right to do this." And he goes, "You know, this is a residential area. You can only make construction noises between 7 and something." You know, anyway, I'll be back after these two promos to finish this story, and then we'll get into how these issues and these petitions can be your portal in your campaign and building your county.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, healthcare, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contributions page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Okay, so what we're trying to do here, we're trying to give you, actually not we're trying, I'm trying to help you realize how you have at your disposal and what this list of, this comprehensive list of positions to, you know, start forcing constitutional conversations, how we're living in a world that we don't even realize we've lost liberties. Like just being able to have chickens on your property. We're not talking about having a huge coop and a huge, you know, Tyson's Chicken King, you know, kind of company and a franchise. What we're talking about here, folks, is we're talking about you just being able to be self-sufficient as possible, whether that be bunny rabbits, whether that be chickens, you fill in the blank. You should be able to be self-sufficient if your property allows for it. I mean, it's one thing if you have a condo and you don't have any real estate, any ground where you can plant plants, you know, then you really can't plant plants. I mean, you can put them in the house and you can do hydroponics, but next thing you know, you may not have any room for your family. I mean, so we have to do what we can to be self-sufficient as we possibly can for the conditions we live. And those of you that live in a rural area, because you may have ground underneath your feet where you have a lawn, you shouldn't have to have a lawn in the front of your yard. What's the matter with a beautiful garden? What is the, I mean, there's points in time where you harvest the garden, it kind of looks ugly during harvest time, so what? But the beautiful thing is, you did that for yourself, and you were able to sustain and save yourself money off the sweat of your labor. Isn't that one of those commandments that we're supposed to live, the, you know, off the sweat of our labor? off the sweat of our brow? Anyway, so as we start going down this path of understanding both the Constitution, limits of jurisdiction, and those types of things, we all of a sudden have at our feet this opportunity to actually pick up these issues and creating petitions and getting other people on board. So let's say you've got this, you know, hot issue because a lot of people were laid off. If you remember Flint, Michigan, and I forget, there was a movie, and I forget, maybe it was Michael that he did a documentary. I think it was the same guy that became a flaming liberal. And I'm going to thank you for the text because I'm really bad with names. I can see him. He's a heavy set guy and he's a Canadian. And he came in and he did this expose on Flint, Michigan, and how the auto manufacturers decimated Flint, Michigan by going to Mexico. And so, I mean, he's constantly stirring up. He's like a muckraker, right? And so he was stirring up these issues. And he pointed out how people were having to resort to raising rabbits on their property so that they could just eat, you know, and whatever they had to do just to survive because they were trapped. They couldn't move, just go somewhere. They didn't have folks. In December, I pointed out that 85% of America, which means 85% of my audience, I'm hoping it's a lot less than that, but 85% of my audience may be living from hand to mouth. In other words, you're living from paycheck to paycheck. You do not have the resources. You do not have enough money to be able, if you lost your job and you had no income, you'd be able to make your mortgage and so forth for how long? 6 months? It should be a year. You should have enough finances that you have tucked away for a year so that you could sustain yourself. If all of a sudden you and your wife can't work, you have enough money because, you know, and don't think it has to be a dollar for dollar thing, by the way, because a lot of times you'll realize that, okay, now you're not driving to work. You're not doing a lot of these other things. All these other expenses would go away. And so start realizing if you couldn't do anything and you were staying in the house, you know, what would you need financially to pay the bills and to do the things? Do you need TV? You know, you need cable, you need the internet, whatever you decide that you need to have. And you come up with, okay, this is what it would cost us. This is how much our food is. This is, you know, this is not emergency expenses. This is just to survive. Emergency expenses is like the roof gets blown off. The car breaks down and you have to major engine repairs or something like that. A furnace repair in the middle of winter. We live from hand to mouth. And the point is that those of you who are in that type of state, you know, and all of a sudden we're in this downturned economy, you get trapped and you become a subject. You actually depend on handouts and you depend on people to do things that you should be able to do for yourself. And I tell you what, that's a position nobody wants to be in. I cannot believe anybody would take bragging rights to say, look at this, you know, I'm completely dependent. I can't do things for myself. And I got these suckers over here to do it for me. Well, I'm telling you, it's a reciprocating relationship, and they're getting something out of you. They're getting your votes to vote the way they want you to. They're getting something out of you, and it's more than just, you know, your time and your money. It is your marrow. They are basically sucking your soul out of you. So in context, so we can start creating these types of issues, but you have all of these other opportunities to start building this momentum on the Constitution. This is why I cannot understand why the Constitution Party has, you know, in some respects, I've got a great relationship with a lot of players in the Constitution Party, but there's a couple of them that are going, you know what, this guy, you know, GR, he's just trying to take us over. No. The same thing with the Independent American Party. I'm trying to motivate. I'm trying to encourage some party to get to the top of the mountain to start putting the rocks into a ring to create that big fire, that blaze that they can build and call everybody to come sit at our fire. We all have this right. These are our constitutional rights. And this is where we need to be. This is the top, the highest ground of all grounds politically, folks. And so
what I'm trying to share with you is that we have all the marketing that we can start leveraging. And I'll give you one case in point. I have actually reached out, and I don't know the gentleman's name. I've called and I've left messages on his phone, but we've never been able to connect. Maybe that's my fault. Maybe it's his fault. Doesn't matter whose fault it is. I'm just telling you, I've never successfully connected with anybody in Oklahoma, with the Constitution Party, Independent American Party, anybody. Now, there's one gentleman that I actually did connect with, but it's an outlier type of, a couple of people, but outlier positions. I've never been able to penetrate, you know, the good sovereigns of Oklahoma, the people of Oklahoma. And so Oklahoma happens to be a very unique state, and it's a very unique state because it was suppressed and oppressed for years. Look at how Oklahoma had been formed. And as a matter of fact, let's look at Missouri just next to it. Missouri became a state in the Union in 1820, right? 1820, it was in 1920. In 1820, and that's reasonable because that's within the first, you know, 50 years, just a little over 25 years, right? Right, because Thomas Jefferson and John Adams, I think they died in, you know, 25 years of the Declaration of Independence. What anyway, the fact of the matter is that Oklahoma didn't become a state until 1906. They became a state after most of the Western states became states. It was one of the last states in the... Why? Why did it become one of the last states? Oh, well, the federal government was playing a lot of shenanigans, and they had already successfully assumed unconstitutional roles and responsibilities that aren't enumerated. And most of those all had everything to do with that Trail of Tears that I was trying to tell you, that I was mentioning before. And so when you look at the Cherokee Nation that is in Oklahoma, their rights and the property that they probably had that they owned back in, I don't know, I think it was Mississippi, you know, that got stolen from them. And if they have the deeds to that land, then they should actually be able to restore and have that land restored to them. My point is this. Maybe some of them did, maybe some of them didn't. A lot of states didn't have necessarily deeds or anything at that point in time. We were still kind of an immature government. Everything was just state property, and they acknowledged and they started creating taxes and poll taxes. I mean, when did Mississippi become a state, right? I mean, I could probably look that up. I know I have that in my documentation. And so let me see. I don't have it quickly available for me to come up and just pull up the information. But it was probably before 1920. I think it was before 1920 because Louisiana became a state in the early 1800s. I think Jefferson was president when that happened, just because Louisiana was already really matured as an area because of the port and the commerce and the trade and everything. And that's where, if you remember, it was Aaron Burr that went and tried to have an insurrection against the U.S. government there. And that's when he got charged and dragged into Virginia for a court trial on treason. Anyway, without going through all of the history stuff, what's really important here is Oklahoma. All of these Indians were granted these privileges of, I should say, the federal government created territories that they were going to control and maintain, and then they created a state. The day that state became sovereign is the day that that state became a partner, a party to the Constitution, is the day all of the land. And I'm going to say this again. I'm not going to yell this. I'm going to just say this again. All of the land within the boundaries of Oklahoma became the state of Oklahoma. The only land that was retained as federal land was only land and buildings that were within the enumerated land and buildings of the Constitution. In other words, the needful buildings for the federal government and or the land for the military bases, the magazines, or forts that were necessary for them. And at that point in time, because there wasn't a national threat, there was really no need to have military bases in Oklahoma. I mean, Texas was to the south of them, and I can understand having military bases along the borders, but not in Oklahoma. So all of that land should have been surrendered. So now we have this huge problem. And I'm going to get to that when we come back from the break, how the Supreme Court has stepped on it just recently.
If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and the 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com.
To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires two-thirds of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416.
Okay, so in Oklahoma, and as a matter of fact, there's an article that just came out regarding this long-term, you know, feud. But see, here's the problem. The reason Oklahoma is in this mess is because the rest of us, the state, the union, has failed to step up and has failed to actually do right by each other in saying, we are sovereign states. Come on, let's wake up. We have all the authority here. The federal government is acting under assumed, unwarranted, unconstitutional authority. Come on. Are we going to let them destroy us? Because their agenda is out to destroy us. And what the Supreme Court just did, what they've been doing. And oh, by the way, folks, this is your good old Trump conservative Supreme Court. Are you kidding me? We're going to see levels of tyranny that you thought, because we got these great appointments. Are you serious? We need to disband. We need to reform the Supreme Court. There is good justification, but we first have to discuss the definitizing. Let's start with what's important first. Let's get our arms around the Constitution. Let's get our arms around what things have to be and what things are, where the limitations of jurisdiction are, what the court can actually do, what they can actually rule upon, and then clear out these issues that they have created that they have no business being in our face. They shouldn't even exist. These Indian territories should not exist. What should have happened is that the people of the land that were given that land, they should have been given that land, and that was their land. And when that state stood up, they could have had a choice to sell their land and move somewhere else, just like anybody can do when a nation is formed. What we have to do, and if you really want to dive into this, this is what common law courts would do. And this is the beautiful thing here about common law courts, is that they'll actually go through the letter of the law. Was the United States in violation of the letter of the law governing the laws of nations? The laws of nations created these standards of how all nations were to behave and interact with each other. Now, whether the United States acknowledged those things or not, we did. We actually did. And we abided by the laws of nations as a civil society. but we didn't subjugate ourselves to it. It only basically dictated how we are to interact with others. And in the act of conquest, see, conquest wasn't necessarily in the United States, but the ability of a nation to acquire more land and more resources was absolutely within the rights of every country in the world. Absolutely. As long as that land wasn't claimed by others, or if it was claimed, then how did you take it? And in America, how did we take our land? Well, we had to fight for it first, right? We had to revolt and basically take our own land away from Britain, who was basically, you know, a despotic government that was restraining us and actually oppressing us and throwing us into pain for their world wars, because we were the ones that had to pay. They were taxing us, you know, for their wars over in India and China and their expenses of doing all those things. So what we did was we cut that tie and we became our own nation of nations, right? Because the United States is a nation of states, sovereign states, creating a very limited national government or very limited general government. So as we started expanding and creating all these new states, most of the land that we got, we purchased. The Louisiana Purchase was big. Alaska was big. The rest of the Pacific Northwest was big. We actually started purchasing all this land. So as we purchased this land for ourselves, this means that the federal government was to guard it from foreign influence and to guard it from foreign, what do you want to call that, intrigue and, you know, infiltration, invasions, all of these things. And the fact is we have a federal government that is allowing foreign nations to buy land and resources in the United States is antithetical to what they're supposed to be doing. But let's get back to Oklahoma, will we? So when we look, and actually there's a really good article out there. It was, what is the name of this? The Conversation is the name of the paper. And the person that wrote this is a legal hack that doesn't understand the Constitution. As I read through this at a cursory level, I go, this person is absolutely clueless. They have no idea that the federal government has no authority to manage and dictate the every whit and the lives of Indians and this thing called Indian territories. I'm sorry. There's nothing enumerated in the Constitution for them to do that. Nothing at all. So bottom line, the United States was not formed to basically subjugate and control, you know, one class and one race of people, the American Indians. I'm sorry, that was not the design. That isn't the design, and they don't have that authority. What should have happened was that the Indians that were within the state of Missouri, the Indians that were within the state of Oklahoma and every other state, when these states formed and became states, the Indians, they should have been grandfathered into being the landowners of the land that the federal government was basically managing for them. And the federal government technically had no authority to be able to do that other than the fact that they do have exclusive authority over territories. Once the territory became a state, then the state government becomes the sovereign authority. And therefore, everything needed to be transitioned. So the deeds or what have you, that's what should have happened. And so how do we fix this? It's real easy, folks. All we have to do is just go out and whatever those boundaries are and parse out that land. You know, everybody's already got their own home. They have their home. So that becomes they get a title for whatever that home and the land that home sits on. That's theirs. And then all of the rest of the community land or the public land becomes the town's land and or the outer reaches and this other land out there like mines or agricultural farms and so forth. That gets divided up to where each family, each person, however the state and the tribe wants to do it, but everybody has a fair shot. And you do it by lottery. So nobody actually has an in to be able to say, you know, hey, that was unfair. You gave it to that person because, you know, they paid you or they. No, it's going to be done by lottery and it will be a fair process. You'll actually have your own number. You get to go pick and you will pick what parcel of land you're going to be queued with. And here's the thing, folks. Now you can sell that. Now you can do whatever you want and then move and do whatever you want with the rest of your life. But the fact is, you can't deny the evolution of enlightenment, the evolution of nations, and the evolution of countries. Anybody that says that the Western society was what they were doing was wrong and immoral, well, that applies to every society. The Indians were nomadic. The Indians would take land from other Indians. I mean, there is no evidence that there was ever really a civil society other than what happened in South America. And I believe, I forget the name of the pyramids down there, but they found these things at the end of the 1999, the end of the century. It was a group of people that had no military weaponry. It was the only society that didn't actually have natural enemies of people. You know, their only enemy was, the bears and the deer, not the deer, but, hostile animals. That was their only thing. They were hunters, gatherers, and that was it. And we're talking over 3,500 years before Christ, or 5,000, 6,000 years ago when these pyramids were built down there. And I'm trying to remember, forgive me, I'm terrible. It's in my book, I wrote about it, and I've got all this information on it there. You'd think I would retain all this stuff. That's why when I read my book, I sit there and I go, wow, yeah, I know I wrote this, but I don't remember this. Anyway, and it's not that I'm that forgetful, it's just that there's so many things that go through my head that it's transitory. Everything is transitional. It's just, boom, it just flies through my head and it's out and it's done. Anyway, so back to Oklahoma. I can't understand why the Constitution Party hasn't been growing bigger and bigger. I mean, they should be the bully out there in the party now. They could be on the High Road or the Independent American Party in Oklahoma. They would be on the top of that mountain showing everybody that the federal government is doing, and these are shenanigans they have no authority to do. This is proven. You can actually prove this. And once you have irrefutable evidence and nobody can refute you, what then? Well, then people start listening. Now people actually go, you know what? How come the Republican Party isn't doing this? Ah, because they can't buck the system. They can't support the Constitution. They have to support the idea and the concept of an unlimited government that we have to cower to, these noble people that want to govern us, based on their discretions and not based on the rule of law. Because the rule of law will destroy their control over us. This is why. So the next issue we're going to get into, and I've got less than a minute to go into it, but you should read this conversation. The title of this: Oklahoma State Officials Resist Supreme Court Ruling Affirming Tribal Authority Over American Indian Country. Well, there's no such thing as American Indian Country, that's a label this person's created. The state of Oklahoma is the state of Oklahoma. And what the good people, Indian or not, whatever these good people want to do, they have the opportunity, the privilege of governing themselves. That is all their land, other than those things that are in pursuant to the Constitution the federal government needs. But Indian territories, my friend, is not one. This is why, and this is where I'm going to basically pitch this. You need to go to the Reclaiming the Republic page. Go down on the right side of the site menu. It's towards the very bottom. You'll find Constitutional Perspectives. Read my article that's on that page. I spell it all out, how the federal government has no jurisdiction over this type of land. And with that, folks, I'm G.R. Mobley, Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.